from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as the case may be around the planet, all these time zones, each and every one covered like a blanket by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, filling in for George Norrie, who's taking a very well-deserved day off. You have no idea what it's like doing this program 5 or 6 nights a week. It's incredible. I know on the listener end of things, it sounds like, gee, I wish I had that job. What a piece of cake. Well, in a way, yes, because it's so much fun. But in a way, there's a lot of work associated with it that, you know, doesn't show up in the air work that you're doing. It's both before and after and in between. So there's a lot that goes into a radio program, and getting a day off for those who do it on a regular basis is a big deal. So enjoy your day off, George. The webcam photograph tonight, and by the way, my webcam photograph is not in the usual place on a Friday night, Saturday morning when I fill in for George. They put it in a special place, and I'd kind of like you to take a look at this night's webcam photograph. In fact, I'll tell you about it. It's right up in the middle of the center of the page, right up the very top. Click where it says here. And what you're looking at is Asia Rain Bell. That was done 2 days ago. Now, of course, it's an ultrasound, so what you're seeing is not a photograph, of course. It's merely a reflection of sound waves. And it's amazing. There she is, folks. There she is. I picked just one a picture to put on, but the company that did it, this was not a medical deal. There was no medical reason to do this ultrasound. This was a fun ultrasound. They will do that for you now if you have a bundle of joy on the way. There are now these places like the one we found in Las Vegas, and I'm going to dig up the name and let you go to their website because I think they have additional photographs on their website. So I'll get that to you in a bit. I forgot to ask Aaron for it before I went on the air. So Aaron, if you're listening, bring me in that little pamphlet and we'll go take a look on their website. Gee, I should have done that before I went on the air. Anyway, there's one photograph, one that I picked out, which I thought was just absolutely amazing. She wouldn't cooperate. Really, she wouldn't. She held her little hands in front of her face. She had her cord draped down in front of her face for a long period of time. So we had to jostle her around, and we did get a few really good photographs. And they tell me that's good, because sometimes the babies are turned around the other way. So the face is toward the back of the pregnant woman, and that makes it really difficult. But we did. We got a few really good shots, and it's really fun to do right around the 31st to 33rd week, somewhere in there, because she's obviously pretty well formed. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. She will be delivered around noon or noon 30 by C-section. I will be there, high definition camera in hand. Hopefully I won't pass out. And so I should get some good video of Asia Rain Bell entering the world. We're, as you can imagine now, beginning to get very, very excited. Now, there is some additional news. Pizza Punch is being delivered to everybody. In fact, the word I got just prior to airtime is all the orders are out. Took a little extra time. They got really swamped. This is the Pizza Punch that Ramona and myself found in France a decade ago now. My God, a decade. And so we're starting to get some reviews on Pizza Punch. Here is one from Ray in Henderson, Nevada. I received my order of 3 bottles of Pizza Punch yesterday, so I decided to treat my crew to a pizza party to give it the ultimate test. Pizza was Domino's. The crew were very hungry, so it was difficult to get them to wait to devour the pizza until they added the punch to it. After some hemming and hawing, they agreed and went to town on the pizza. The opening of the bottle is perfect for the drip-by-drip delivery of the punch, not too much like a regular olive oil bottle would be. Nice touch. To get the best results on hot foods like pizza, make sure the food is hot because a flavor does not infuse when it's cold. Buy more than one bottle at a time. With a hungry bunch, the first bottle was drained in no time. Now for the results. Not actual quotes, as they were muffled by pizza-filled mouths. Everybody thought the punch was mild enough to please most, yet spicy enough to make a difference in the flavor of the pizza. They all noticed it absorbed into the pizza if it was hot, and the flavor was better. They commented on the garlic tone. Some picked out a hint of black pepper or currants. Some noticed a touch of rosemary. Everybody liked it. Some liked it enough to get the website info from me, so after years of waiting, the punch is a hit, pun intended. Gary says, all right, I just got my first piece of pizza punch. Made a chicken Sammy on toasted buns. Oh, yeah. Now, get some good crusty bread, toast it nice and brown, shoot it with pizza punch, add some good salt. Oh, yeah. I need more. And it's good to give to a good cause, too. Thank you, Gary. And Art couldn't wait for the pizza. I put it on some French bread. Very good. The flavors are complex. Ramona had to have had an incredible sense of taste to figure it out. Yes, she did. Glad I bought 5 bottles. Thanks, Art. Just so great this finally came to be for you and Ramona and your listeners, too. Best regards, Nancy. Okay, Art, I didn't get a pizza for tonight, but I made spaghetti out of some canned sauce that had been in the past disappointing when left undoctored. Wow! Just a few drops on a serving of what was boring spaghetti made it delicious. I'm amazed at how little it took to dress it up. Now, I know why you called it punch. I love it. This is a good thing. Nancy. Or Dr. LJP says, dear Art, for breakfast, this is a wonderfully subtle flavor on baked fresh salsa and eggs and on scrambled eggs. Also very good on bruschettas. Thank you and Ramona for this delight. Kindest thoughts to you. To your devoted wife, Asia, and family, Dr. LJP, and so on and so forth. Anyway, that's it's called ArtBellsPizzaPunch.com. That's where you can see it, ArtBellsPizzaPunch.com. And for those who are wondering, despite a stuttering start, I understand they have now shipped all orders, so if yours isn't there yet, it's about to be. Now we're going to settle down to some very serious business. Yes, one more time, for those of you asking. It's simple. It's ArtBellsPizzaPunch.com. ArtBells Pizza, PIZZA, Punch, PUNCH, .com. ArtBellsPizzaPunch.com. All right. We're going to do open lines tonight, which means exactly that. Unscreened, open line, anything goes, talk radio. I do have one suggestion born of the tragic events of this last week, nonstop coverage by all the news channels, of course. Let's look at the news very briefly. The family of Virginia Tech gunman Sungwi Cho told the Associated Press on Friday that they feel, quote, hopeless, helpless, and lost, and never could have envisioned that he was capable of so much violence. He's made the world weep. We're living a nightmare, they said in a statement issued by Cho's sister on the family's behalf, I can well imagine. And then today, a NASA contract worker took a handgun inside an office building Friday at the Johnson Space Center and fatally shot a hostage before killing himself, according to police. A second hostage luckily escaped with only minor injuries. The gunman was able to take a snub-nosed revolver past NASA security and barricade himself in the building, which houses communications and tracking systems for the space shuttle. Now, a lot of obvious questions involved in how in God's name you could get a gun into a NASA control center. That just doesn't compute with me at all. Desperate for support among fellow Republicans, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez faced grim prospects Friday after a bruising Senate hearing that produced one outright call for his resignation and a fistful of invitations and hints to quit. Not good news. A jihadist video is showing a boy beheading a man. The boy with a knife looks only to be about 12 years old. In a high-pitched voice, he denounces the bound, blindfolded man before him as an American spy. Then he hacks off the captive's head. You're not going to want to see that one while shouting, God is great. All of this is going to go into a question for this night. The Social Security numbers of 63,000 people who received Agricultural Department grants have been posted on a government website since 1966, but they were taken down last week. Free credit monitoring is being offered to those affected. Can you imagine? When astronauts return from space, what they talk about is not the brute force of the rocket launch or the exhilaration of zero gravity, it's the view. And it's mankind's rarest view of all, Earth from afar. Only two dozen men on the entire planet. Those who journeyed to the moon have seen the full Earth view. Most space travelers in low orbit see only a piece of the planet, a lesser but very still impressive glimpse of it. They've seen the curvature of the Earth, its magnificent beauty, its fragility, and its lack of borders. I guess everything else this week, all other news, paled compared to what happened at Virginia Tech. The Chicago Tribune reports that Cho, the Virginia Tech shooter who killed 32 fellow students in a shooting rampage, was taking antidepressant drugs. This is not the first time a school shooting rampage has been linked to antidepressants. The infamous Columbine High shootings took place almost exactly 8 years ago, and the shooters in that rampage were also, you guessed it, taking antidepressant drugs. What is it about these drugs that provokes young men to pick up pistols, rifles, shotguns, and violently assault their classmates? Well, inevitably, when something like this happens, this is one of the reports you get. I tend to dismiss it because most of these people, as Cho was, are disturbed people in the first place. Many of them, most of them, have been diagnosed with one form of psychiatric difficulty or another. And so, of course, they're on these kinds of drugs. I would ask the opposite question, not that I'm pro-drug companies at all, but I've seen these drugs help disturbed people. And that a lot of people who are on these drugs end up committing suicide or end up committing some kind of tragic evil thing, as was committed at Virginia Tech, is not a surprise to me, because these are the disturbed people. They've already been diagnosed, many if not most of them. So I don't easily make that connection. A lot of people say, yeah, it's the drugs. Or if they don't go after that, they go after the guns. It's the guns. Well, I hate to make this, because you probably heard it earlier in the week, but I'm pro-gun in the sense that if the guards at Virginia Tech or even the students had been able to carry guns, very, very few, if any, crimes are ever committed by anybody who's licensed to carry a gun. Perhaps so many would not have died before somebody else took their gun and dispatched Cho before he could have done as much as he did. So the inevitable anti-gun sentiment never does fly with me, doesn't fly this time either. What does fly with me is, unfortunately, what you're about to hear. Evelyn Paglini, she's an amazing, amazing lady. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll do more of this in a moment. Well, all right. I have mixed feelings about this, because what Dr. Paglini has done is kind of scary, really, in a lot of ways. A year ago, she was on the program and predicted there would be a weather event so horrible, so bad, that it would cause tens of thousands of people to relocate, meaning leaving the city where they were. Such an event has never happened in American history until, of course, Katrina. She predicted Katrina. How many tens of thousands, at least, if not hundreds of thousands, initially left New Orleans, and then some returned. Many thousands did not. So she hit that one dead on the head. I was going to say something else. It wouldn't run well on radio. And then what's coming? Dr. Evelyn Paglini, parapsychologist, is one of the leading authorities on the occult and the supernatural in the United States. She was born into a centuries-old family of practitioners of the occult. And at the tender age of 4, her grandfather began teaching her natural magic. She's a psychic, metaphysical teacher, lecturer, consultant, doctor of divinity, spiritual warrior, founded the International Psychic Center, a research investigation organization, has been called upon by many law enforcement agencies. She has set precedents in the Texas court system on a child abuse case with ritual overtones, worked with law enforcement on missing persons and murder cases involving the occult and supernatural. Well, she was on the show. She'll have to correct me. I don't know. It was, a few weeks ago?
A couple of weeks ago?
31st. Okay.
March.
All right. Hi, Evelyn. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm going to play now two audio clips, Evelyn, for the audience. The first is, well, a hit. I wouldn't jump up and down about it. Going on at the time you were on, we were already getting a lot of news on the pet food problem. But you had this to say. Listen carefully.
Before we go to the phones, Art, can I make one more little statement?
Yes.
I know you have cats, and so do I. And I'm very worried because I feel that this recall is not over. I feel that it's going to spread and continue to spread. And so I really want to tell people out there that have pets, please be very, very careful because I think this is not over with.
Okay. That was one. And here comes the one that really set me off. And by the way, it was not only here. There was a part that they missed earlier in the show. I can't recall. But listen to this next prediction. Here we go. When I interviewed Father Malachi Martin in a long series of interviews, Evelyn, he said that in his area of responsibility in the New York City area, the New York area, evil, and this was years ago, was up 800% in the year previous, had just gone up 800%, and he felt that it would continue to rise. And what you're saying is kind of on line with that. You're saying,
yeah, now it's so prevalent, and it's coming from all facts and facets of life. You're seeing now people, parents that are killing children, children killing children. You're seeing catastrophes where people walk in and go into a Mormon school and just annihilate youngsters' innocence. This is going to escalate to beyond our wildest dreams. We are not going to be able to get our head around the kind of carnage that people are going to be doing to others.
All right, so there it was. Now, Evelyn, hold tight. I received the following from Dawn in Portland, Oregon. Art, Virginia College tragedy, whereby 32 people were killed. Today, when the TV news was discussing the shooter's background, they said that he used to stalk women and set fires. I almost jumped out of my chair. Evelyn Paglini said on your show that there was someone very evil who was getting ready to do something terrible, so horrific that no one will believe it. She said she saw people jumping out of windows, which they did, and thought it had to do with fires or arson. Evelyn Paglini is the most accurate psychic on your show. I'm truly amazed by her, and that's Dawn in Portland, Oregon. So, Evelyn, I'm sure when the news began to break, I can't even imagine what your reaction was. What was it?
Well, my first reaction was absolute shock, horror, sadness, and then grief. I couldn't believe it, Art. This was one time I did not want to be anywhere close to being right.
But that close, so close to the event. I'm sorry. You made me come back to it. It must have been very heavily on your mind because we didn't cover it just once on the show. I only had one audio clip there. You hit me with it again.
Art, I started picking up this evil presence back in November. I don't know what set this person off for me to be able to pick him up on my radar, but I remember distinctly the first scenes and images that I got was the second week of November. I felt this presence of evil. And when I started seeing these images, I saw like a boy, and that's what reminded me of Columbine, because I saw this boy with a gun. And then next I started hearing like sounds, okay, like sounds of shots over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And this happens over a period of time, Art. It doesn't happen all at once.
All right, Evelyn, hold tight right there. We're at the top of the hour. If you review that show, you'll catch the other audio clips where she referenced Columbine. Unbelievable and so close after the prediction. We'll be right back. Indeed. Good evening, everybody. I am Art Bell, filling in for George Norrie, who's got a well-deserved night off. Now, online with me is a man who does a program Saturday night just prior to this program. A lot of you probably don't know about it. Your affiliate may not carry it. If it doesn't, you're going to want to get on the phone. Call your affiliate. Call the radio station in your area and say, hey, there is another Coast program just prior to Coast that you could be carrying and you might not be. And it is hosted by Ian Punnett. Ian, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dad. How's Aaron and the cats?
Oh, they're all well. Very well indeed. You get a chance, go up and take a look. Asia Rain Bell's picture, such as it is. Actually, not picture, ultrasounds up there. It's an amazing thing to see.
Those
anyway, buddy, listen, you're going to be on tomorrow night, right, prior to the program?
Yeah, in fact, I should say, give a shout-out to, we just got added by K-How in Denver, WPRO Providence, I believe it's WFHG in Johnson City, Tennessee, WMAL Washington.
Wow.
We're growing. And Saturday night is successful, not just because we like to consider ourselves the lead-in for the great Art Bell, but also because we come up with some pretty cool topics. And tomorrow night's just one we wanted to brag on a little bit, so thanks for giving us a minute. It's Charles Lindbergh Jr. This would be the man who's an adult now who some people believe was the baby that was killed, the child that was kidnapped from Charles Lindbergh. But he has evidence. He has testimony. He has an answer for everything that he says proves that he is the Lindbergh baby.
Wow. All right. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't hear about that one coming. That should be a fascinating interview. And that begins tomorrow night. At various time zones, when?
Right, 6 o'clock Western, you know, we go Pacific, and then right to 8 o'clock in Midwest. But, I mean, I have a stack of legal affidavits in my lap from things that he has explored either on his own or with his attorney, evidence, DNA, and an ongoing legal attempt to make his case in court. That Charles Lindbergh got rid of the baby because of imperfections in the child, and Lindbergh didn't want it, and yet he was given to a family that raised him only to tell him as a teenager what his true origins were.
Boy, that's Coast all the way.
It is total classic Coast, isn't it? So that'll be coming up tomorrow on Coast to Coast Live before Coast to Coast AM with you.
There you have it. So if your affiliate doesn't have it yet, and you're going to miss what you just heard. So, Ian, thank you, buddy.
I'll always stream link it, too, but thanks, Art, and I look forward to your show tomorrow, too.
That's right. You can always jump on the computer if you have to. Take care, Ian, and we'll be back with Evelyn Paglini in a moment. Well, all right. She successfully called Katrina, and sadly, she successfully called this horrible tragedy at Virginia Tech. Evelyn, how exactly does this stuff come to you?
It comes over a period of time. It usually starts out with images and scenes, and then later it goes into sounds and feelings. It's almost like having five or six jigsaw puzzles all in a pile, and you have to put the pieces together. And sometimes it'll start out very slowly, like maybe once or twice every 10 days to 2 weeks, and then it'll accelerate. And as it accelerates, it gives you more images, more scenes, and you start to be able to piece together what it is that you're getting.
Huh. It's not a talent I would care to have. Thank you very much. And I can't imagine that seeing that sort of thing contributes to a stress-free day at all. I mean, how do you handle it?
You don't sometimes, Art. I got very sick over this one. Only because the images, after I was seeing them on the television, they were making more sense to me. Because when I was seeing these images, I could feel this evil, this dead zone, this soullessness, as this person wanted to punish these people. He wanted them to suffer. He wanted them to bleed. And he never wanted them to forget it. And he also knew, Art, that some of them would live. And so, therefore, the way he was shooting them, he wanted them to suffer. He slowly became someone else over the last few months. He became dead inside, soulless, like Father Malachi Martin talked about.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm going to ask my audience about. One witness, Evelyn, on CNN, said something that I'm never going to forget. One actual eyewitness to the shooting said, quote, "I saw Satan at work."
Yeah.
Unquote. It was just that simple. I saw Satan at work.
That's what I got. That's why I kept coming back to it when we did the show 3 weeks ago, because it was so intense and it was building on me. And I said, I can't believe this. This is so horrendous that I can't wrap my mind around it. It's such senseless killing. And Art, there's going to be a rash of other evil acts that are going to come, not just at schools, although there will be more at schools, but there will be other killings and even bigger than this. And Art, I've only had this one time, and I don't want to give it any energy, but I see something that's going to happen that not only includes guns, but includes explosives.
Explosives?
Yeah.
Now, when you made this prediction previously, you talked about fire. You saw a lot of fire in the year ahead.
Yes, and there's fires going on now in Florida and in Georgia. We've had some in California, and this is only going to increase as the year progresses and as we get into summer. We're going to have massive fires, tens of thousands of acres. Thousands of people are going to have to be evacuated. Thousands of homes will be lost. But more than that, Art, what I'm worried about is we have a killer heat wave coming in. And it's going to come in more than once. I don't know if it's back to back, but I have got a killer heat wave coming in that is really going to cost the lives of an awful lot of people besides power outages and blackouts. And I also feel it's not just here in our nation, but it's also in Europe.
Also in Europe. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Of course, Europe had one. We had one in Chicago that killed many.
I've got two of them coming.
Me.
I just don't know if they're back to back, but this is horrendous, and it will also contribute to the fires. And don't forget, there also will be arson connected to some of them.
Yeah, you made a very strong point about many of them would be arson.
Yes,
that figures. If there's a big heat wave, particularly in the West, every year there's been arson. We've had arson every single year, and so you're saying this is going to be worse than.
This is going to be worse, and I got the next 18 months because I had, like I said, a couple of groups that were doing planning. So over and above what will naturally happen because of the drought and the dryness and the lack of rain, there will be a couple of groups of people who are intentionally going to be doing this.
Does this come to you whether you want it or not?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right, I could be watching something, and all of a sudden something will just supersede it, come right over my eyes, come right over my mind.
Right. Right. The one time I had my little precognitive thing, that's how it came, forcefully. I couldn't stop it if I'd wanted to.
No, you can't. It just comes, and it's there, and you know it. You feel it. It's just a knowing, and you can't shake it. I wish that's when I wish I had power that I could stop it or that I could get more information that was more detailed so that I can give it more out. But it comes in snitches and snatches.
Evelyn, I know that you are able to affect some things, you know, that you are able to project power.
Yes.
But I guess... unless it came to you very specifically, that there wouldn't be any way to... This was pretty specific. I mean, you didn't know it was Virginia Tech, but to call something that would be bigger and more horrific than Columbine...
That wasn't enough information for me to be able to stop it or for me to be able to let anybody know of it. I just know that this evil is on the rise and it's going to continue. It's going to escalate. We're going to see more carnage and more horror.
Do you believe, Evelyn, that evil is manifested only in the mind of man or
no,
or by man? Or do you believe there's an external evil force, a non-human influence at work here?
There is a non-human evil influence and force at work here. There has always been a fight against good and evil, but now it has escalated.
So
because
then,
our consciousness is being raised, and so they are losing ground, and so they are going to be able to try and manipulate any minds that they can in order for them to commit the kind of carnage that they're going to be committing in the coming years.
So that's where free will ends.
Yeah.
So free will is not always free will, is it?
No, because their will has already been tampered with. They don't have the mental capacity of a normal human being. And as they sink into the depths of those depressions and isolations, that's when the energies of entities come around and start taking hold. That's why I said, as this unfolds, you're going to find out that there were changes that started around the second week of November and moved forward. This is when this boy did a complete change. He became this dead soul that had this one thought, and that was to punish.
Certainly what we're seeing in the news really does add up to that. Kind of a dead soul. I mean, he began planning this step by step, calmly. You don't want to use the word rationally because it's not connected with what he did, but it does seem like an external sort of evil, Evelyn, and... I used to call these head shakers because there's no way that any of us can understand or even begin to understand what's in somebody's mind that would do something. Was he just no longer the same person? Did it slowly?
Yeah, takes him over, and he no longer is the same person. While you're talking to other people who were around him, they're premonitions, their instinct, their intuition was telling them something was wrong. They were feeling it. They just didn't know how to put it into words or what to do about it. But they felt the darkness. Why do you think 70 students didn't want to come to the class?
Yeah.
They felt that kind of darkness and that energy, and the more this unfolds, you're going to find more and more people talking about evil, the presence of evil, the feeling of this energy, this darkness that was around this boy.
Is there any way, everybody wants to talk about prevention. Is there any way we can get to the point, Evelyn, where we can predict this? I mean, you predicted this, but... where we can actually predict and prevent something like this? Can you get that specific?
I think that the system is going to be shaken to its foundation, and they're going to initiate new kind of scrutinies and laws that will at least put these young children on the right track to get some intervention, to get some help. Yeah, it's going to cost some money, but look at the lives that it will save. And so I can't imagine anybody comparing the almighty buck to the life of a child.
Nor can I.
So that's the only good I feel that can come out of it, because they better do it, Art. There's more coming.
There's more coming. So
I can't stress this any stronger. You will have this year more shootings in schools, and there will be another. I don't know if it's this year. I only caught it one time, but I'm going to tell you again, with guns and with explosives.
And explosives.
Yeah.
What the hell has happened to our country?
I don't know, Art. That's what's frightening
happening to
me.
Our people. It's just not the same place anymore.
No, it's not. We can understand a natural catastrophe, a flood,
yes,
a hurricane, a tornado, a landslide, which is all going to take place. But that's nature. But this is senseless.
What I can't grasp, Evelyn, you know, I'm not a deeply religious person. I do believe there is God. I do believe there is a God, and therefore I guess I believe there's an equal evil force, perhaps not equal in strength, but there, and apparently growing. And so I guess I feel that everybody must, at least in the corner of their mind, have this idea that there is a maker, that there is something after death. And for somebody to completely ignore that possibility to the degree that they'll take a gun or guns and begin killing as many people as they can kill before taking their own life, it's unthinkable to me. It's so completely unthinkable that I just, you shake your head.
But that's the only way they can have power and control. They have never had power and control. And this is their way of having it, as well as living forever. The one thing that bothered me about the video that he sent is that he really subliminally put out a call to others like himself, telling them that they have no other option than to commit this kind of horrendous crime.
Yeah, and then it was aired by everybody.
And this bothers me tremendously.
You think all of that should not have been aired?
I feel that part of it should not. That's a subliminal call to people like himself that are feeling the same way, that they have no other option. That's dangerous.
I do agree. I really do agree with you. I think it was horrendous that it was aired. They should have just kept it to themselves. So we're in for more of it.
Yes.
And it's going to be a rough year. And watch for, you said, really terrible heat waves as well that will kill many.
Yes, as well as flooding, thousands evacuated. I'm worried about India having some massive flooding. And one more thing, Art, there's going to be a virus that is going to be unleashed that is going to have very much like flu-like symptoms, only it is very deadly. It will not have a quick cure. It's going to take some time for us to find some kind of something that can at least attack or defend it.
When you say a virus unleashed, Evelyn, wait. When you say a virus unleashed, do you mean by the hand of man, or do you mean something from nature?
I heard the word unleashed when I got it.
That sounds like man.
When I got it, that's the way I heard it. And I actually went back in to make sure that the wording came the way I really, and it says, a virus will be unleashed. And then it gave me the flu-like symptoms of vomiting and diarrhea, but it will be deadly.
Deadly.
Deadly. And there will be no quick cure, and people will panic, and then finally they find some kind of a defense against it. But I got unleashed.
Well, that sure sounds like the hand of man, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And
another evil act, wouldn't you call that?
I would call that horribly evil, yes. Horribly evil, and I'm sad for us because I just can't figure out what's happened to us. We were once such a good nation, such a nation full of people who appreciated the unique freedoms and everything that America has given to its people, and I just don't know that we're that anymore.
No, we're not. And you know, this pet food that has been recalled and has been spreading and continued to spread.
Yes.
What if I told you that's not over with, but there's going to be a contaminant found in canned goods for human consumption going to send chills through us, and we're going to wonder how in the world this could happen, as many, many people get sick and die before they even discover it.
And you feel this is coming within this year?
Within this year, yeah, 12 to 15 months.
Is there any way, Evelyn, I talk to remote viewers all the time, and the one thing they have a very difficult time with is timelines. Very difficult time, you know, they see things, but they can't pin down when they're going to happen. How is it with you?
Because I'm a clairvoyant, a clairaudient, and a clairsensitive, I hear, feel, and see. And what happens is it accelerates. As I said, I get these images and scenes sometimes two or three times in 10 days to 2 weeks. Then it accelerates. It starts coming in two, three times a week. And so as it gets closer, it seems to be more distinct. It seems to be more intense. And that's when I start having sleepless nights, and I start writing notes, and I think, oh, my God, this is not going to happen. I don't want to think about it because I don't want to give it energy.
More violence, a lot more violence, fire, heat waves, and some kind of awful virus. Is that about right?
Yep, and the flooding.
What great news. All right, listen, Evelyn, thank you so very much. You're definitely the most accurate voice we have on the air. Ominous, but I'm sorry to say accurate. Evelyn, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Good night. That's Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Unscreened Open Lines coming right up. I'm Art Bell. Well, as promised, here comes Unscreened Open Lines. Anything you want to talk about is absolutely fair game, but I do have a question. Very simply, what the hell's happened to us anyway? As one witness said, I saw Satan at work. Do you think that's really what it was? Do you believe that evil is manifested only in the mind of man, by man? Or do you think there's an external, non-human influence at work? Have you ever felt it? Have you ever actually felt an external evil begin to take over your thinking or your mind? And then, of course, that begs a question about free will, doesn't it? All right, listen, anyway, open lines are exactly that. Anything, if you want to answer that question, fine. If not, we're here to do your bidding. Now, a couple of things. One, please, if you're going to call in to a national show, make sure you've got something interesting to say. That's one. Number two, when I answer, please, oh, please, try and remember to immediately turn your radio off. Not down, but off. Otherwise, there'll be a big delay, and it'll confuse you. You're going to hear your own voice 10 or 12 or 30 seconds or whatever it is after whatever it is you've said, and that's going to confuse you horribly and make you sound confused on the air, and I know you don't want that. So when you hear a shh sound and I say you're on the air, that has meaning. You're on the air. Immediately reach over and turn your radio off. That said, open lines, anywhere you want to go, let's rock. I'm serious about the question, by the way, of what's happened to us. It's passed from, I used to call them head shakers when something like this would happen, but it's passed from that point now to, I don't know, I feel a kind of a sadness about what's changed in our country. We're not the same place anymore. First time caller line, you are on the air. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, hello?
Hi.
Hey, where have we went? That's a good
question. Yeah, that's my question.
I believe we've went down. We've let our morals go, and this is what happens when we become a non-moralistic country, non-God-fearing. Back in the old days, I tell our friends, look in the old days in the 50s and the 60s. My parents didn't lock their doors. My parents left their keys in the car. We didn't care. Kids played in the road. They went to their neighbors. They went to their friends. Nobody cared because we trusted people. We had morals. We don't have morals as a society anymore. It's all about number one, and so let's forget everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, but where did the morals come from? I'm going to say this again. I'm not an overly religious person, but those morals came from religion.
Yes, they're spiritual morals. I'm not going to say anything about religion because you can say black, you can say white, you can say potato, you can say potato. Let's say spiritual beliefs. My parents gave me spiritual beliefs. I went amok when I became a teenager. I went and did my own thing. But you know what? I'm 45 years old now, and I know those spiritual beliefs and those foundations. I believe our foundations come from our parents. They do.
All right. Listen, thank you very, very much. And I guess the same question for all of you. And again... You know, I certainly don't want to turn this program into some sort of religious forum because that's not what it is, nor not what I want it to be. However, that said, there is something that's different. Something very basic, something very profound has changed in our country. maybe in the world. Although I must say, I don't think I'm seeing the degree of change. I've done a very great deal of travel in my life, and I'm not seeing the degree of change elsewhere that I've seen in this country. And I've had, as you know, some absences from this country. And that gives one a little bit of perspective. And I've got to tell you, we are changing at a very, very rapid clip. West of the Rockies, you would have been on the air. Let's go east of the Rockies and say you are on the air. Hi.
Yes, sir, Art. On your LED flashlight, I have a tiny single cell one that I buy all single cells to reuse my batteries. At night, I don't need a very bright light. And I can use the batteries out of my headset radio, and they're just perfect in that LED flashlight at night when I don't want something that bright. And with the nickel CAD, it runs them down far enough that you can charge them for many years simply because it's essential to do that to nickel CAD batteries.
Oh, you're absolutely right. They're amazing, and LEDs are amazing. LEDs have finally come of age. In fact, you're about to see a product pretty soon that is going to replace conventional light bulbs and run at just a teeny-weeny fraction. It's going to be as bright as a regular light bulb, and it's going to run at a teeny-weeny fraction of the power that a regular light bulb runs on. Now, I know we've got some stuff now, but what you're about to see, and I can't talk more about it right now, is just going to knock that right in the butt. So,
okay, now on the being a radio person, a ham, I would appreciate if you would review some of these that are really ingenious, where they have an electronic circuit that keeps the current down when the battery's new and then cuts
right
in when the battery gets old.
Yeah, how did you know about that?
Yeah, and
no, sir. How did you know about those circuits?
Well, for example, when they sold them at half price in the drugstore, I got a lantern that has 10 such lights. But if I get that close to my radio at night, it does affect the radio. And what I'd like you to do is help we people, even though it's all DC, there's no AC. You know, it's not plugged into the wall.
Right.
And there's a knob on the side of it that you can turn the light volume up and down, just like an electric blanket.
That's
and
right.
My electric blanket does the same thing. It goes tick, tick, tick on my radio. If you'd like to be a real service to we ordinary people in the boondocks, allow somebody to put the noise suppression circuits in these things. I could do it, but I can't do it from the boondocks.
Okay. All right. That's a very good idea. And what he's talking about is a unique circuit that LEDs are really interesting. And of course, the one thing you want to do is limit the current when the LED is new. And that's exactly what these circuits do. They limit the current when there's plenty of current, and then they allow the battery significantly longer life. It's really quite amazing what they're doing. And again, I can't talk about some of the products that I know that are coming very shortly. You'll be hearing about them, but they're amazing. And they just take a tiny, tiny fraction of the current that, say, a normal light bulb would take, and they produce every bit as much light as a 60 or a 100-watt light bulb. These things are coming, and they're coming very soon, and I can't talk a whole lot more about it. But they do have some innovative current control circuits that end up doubling or tripling the life of a battery for any given LED light. It's quite amazing what they're doing. On the international line, you are on the air. Hi.
Great. Good to talk to you, Art. First, to answer your question, I don't think that our society has changed all that much. But my question was to you, actually two questions, a darker one, a lighthearted one, is do you think that this week in particular has a cosmic curse on it?
No, I don't. I think that there's a bigger, more profound change that's taken place. It doesn't have anything to do with this week in particular. It has to do with, I'm afraid it has to do with our entire future.
It quite possibly is. And my lighthearted question is, do you think the worst place or scariest place to work would be a Ouija board factory?
I don't know. I think it's Parker Brothers, isn't it, that makes a Ouija board. I think there's not anything at all inherently evil about a Ouija board. What is dangerous about a Ouija board is the intent applied to it by the user or users. That's what opens doors. It's not a silly little cardboard board. You don't really believe that, do you? It's not that. I think most of us know that. It's the intent of the user. It could be anything at all. if you decide that something is going to open doors, or you want, let's say you actually project the intent for a spirit to come into the room, it doesn't matter what the focus of that is. In fact, there could be nothing at all. You could sit around in a circle on a rug, and you could project the intent for something to enter. And believe me, you have opened a door. Now, it's not every time that something will walk through, but on occasion, something does. And so you've got to be very, very careful. And I once had a Ouija board. It's a story I won't tell, because something did manifest, and it just scared me beyond all reason. And so I don't talk about it. I wouldn't use, if I were you, a Ouija board, nor would I gather in a circle with no board at all and invite something into your life, because it might just come. Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
Oh, you're there too. You're live just like me. I'm from Toronto, Canada, but visiting Petaluma.
Well, welcome.
Yeah. So, do I tell you what I want to talk about here?
Well, sure. You're on the air.
Well, oh, good. Well, I validate Evelyn for putting her finger on it. This whole change in society definitely, I feel, is an evilness. And I'm a Dianetic practitioner. If anybody's read Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, they will understand the reactive mind is the source of psychosis, psychotic, blah, 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 blah. And I think a big thing that's influenced this is, since psychiatry really grabbed its roots on children, going back from the 60s on, you see a trend in the mental health field taking over. And if the solution to this is we've got to increase our mental health, then you're looking at further continued drugging of people who are trying to deal with a reactive, aberrated mind, and that's not the solution at all.
And what do you think is?
I think the solution is we have to return to the basic common sense kindness and support of the family unit. Churches, per se, any church, I don't care what it is, a Baptist, Catholic, Muslim, whatever, they have to start administering to people. They are in the realms of handling the spiritual well-being.
No, they've got to get people through the door before they can minister to anything.
No, well, that's true. Well, that means they have to stop referring their parishioners to psychiatrists, because I've worked in that field too. So if we're going to dumb down a society and end up with robots that come back, get released, and then have access to guns. And actually, I'm wondering if this young man coming from the Oriental background, if he was exposed to brainwashing of any type. I do know that when you're under hold in a psychiatric unit for evaluation, you definitely are drugged up or further.
Well, I'm sure that he was given some sort of psychiatric drug treatment. Probably no question about that. We know he was. I think it was Paxil, wasn't it? But again, I tend not to connect the use of these drugs and people going wild and killing a whole bunch of people. I don't really make that connection. I understand that we have a lot of troubled people, but it would make absolute sense that the people who end up going off the deep end and doing these things were diagnosed at some previous time as being troubled and probably on some sort of drug. Now, ask yourself how many people would be going berserk if there was no treatment at all. I think there's a more profound change that's taken place in our nation and perhaps in the world. I think that, corny as it may sound, Father Malachi Martin was right. Evil is on the increase. Answering my own question, I think there is an external influence at play here. I think it's not just the mind of man. I think it's not just a free will gone berserk in individual men. I think that there really is some sort of external influence. I know it sounds corny, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, but if you have a belief in God, then you probably also have a belief in some sort of opposite power. I know I do, and I think it's at work. Beyond that, I certainly don't have any answers. In fact, that's sort of a guess. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Art? How you doing today?
Just
appreciate
fine.
You taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a couple questions, Mr. Bell.
Sure.
I wanted to get your personal opinion if you think the U.S. government is possibly covering up information about aliens and UFOs.
I think it's possible. I don't know it to be true. See, how can I put this to you? That's it. I think it's certainly possible that they know, but I don't know that for sure. So I wouldn't make any absolute statements.
Well, I wanted to make a statement that you had said last month that you didn't think 9/11 could be an inside job because you thought it would take too many people to keep a secret. Now, I mean, to keep an alien secret would take just as many people. So can you possibly explain this contradiction in your philosophy?
No, it's not a contradiction in philosophy at all. I make no absolute statement about the U.S. government. You just asked me, and I gave you an answer. I can't say for sure that they're holding that secret.
So what are your personal
opinions? It's not a contradiction in philosophy. I don't make an absolute statement about anything that I can't know for sure. What I gave with respect to 9/11 was my opinion. I said that if it was an inside job, if the U.S. government, if we did this to ourselves, then I'm living in a country I don't want to live in anymore. That's what I said.
Well, it's not actually that we did it to ourselves. It's just a rogue faction of government. I mean, you have to take in account Building Number 7 and the NORAD stand down. I'm sure you saw the whole scripted BBC piece on Building 7 where they called it that it fell 20 minutes before it actually did. I mean, Larry Silverstein saying pull it, the free fall speed, and dozens.
All of that I've seen, yes.
Yeah, I mean, but you have dozens and dozens of eyewitnesses that, you know, bombs were going off. How come the media is not covering any of that?
I don't know that you have witnesses to bombs going off, as you put it. I'm not aware of those. I am aware of the statement by Silverstein when he said pull it and the controversy surrounding that. But no, I'm certainly not aware of any absolute facts with regard to 9/11 or with regard to aliens. So there's no gap, no hypocrisy in what I feel about all of this. The only thing I will tell you for sure is that which I've actually experienced. For example, I've told the story many times of the two sightings that I've had. Personal, eyewitness, I saw it kind of testimony. That doesn't mean it was an alien craft, and I've always maintained that. I don't know that for sure. This program covers many things. That doesn't mean that, for example, when I have a guest on that I endorse or agree with what is said. A lot of people make that mistake, and they make the assumption that because I cover something or I allow a guest to express an opinion that I've signed on to that. Don't make that assumption, because it's simply not true. Only that which I've seen myself, which I can put my hands on, will I call a fact. Otherwise, it's just an opinion. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to say, I heard earlier that Miss Paglini...
Evelyn Paglini, yes.
Yes, she had mentioned that she felt that Cho was perhaps weak-minded and therefore vulnerable for some sort of attack from maybe evil-type entities. And I don't necessarily agree that he was an evil, that he was under attack by an evil entity. I think that the guy said that he thinks that the reason why these things are happening is because we don't have God in our lives anymore. I don't necessarily agree with that either. I think that church forced us to have to come face to face with one another. And when you have to come face to face with people that you would otherwise not really have to be accountable to, you treat them better. Because we don't have church in our lives as much anymore, maybe that's the reason why things like this happen. But I don't think it's because we're not moral anymore.
I think you're onto something. Listen, I'm coming on to a break. Would you please do me a favor and stay right where you are? I'll come back to you after the break, all right?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think she's onto something, folks. the way people treat each other face to face and in the disconnected society we have now, very different. We'll be right back. Well, all right, I think this caller is on to something. We'll get back to her after the break, but I want you to consider something. We are in this new, wonderful technological age, right, where, well, we never really have to see anybody. We don't come face to face with anybody anymore. We don't have to. We can stay at home, and we can write emails. We can send fast blasts. We can go to a news group somewhere and ravage somebody and not even have to sign our own name to it. Now, I'm not saying that this is the center of all that is evil. I'm just saying that, I don't know, when times were older, when people had to meet each other face to face, there was a certain politeness that's not there anymore. And if you doubt it, some of the most innocuous news groups, I mean, talking about things that you would think would never cause a fight, end up inevitably every time turning into this people ripping each other from limb to limb with words, and then at the bottom a signature that isn't their real name or whatever. In other words, we live in this age where we don't have to be face-to-face anymore. We don't meet Sunday in church, and church is not the only example, but anywhere else. We live in this wonderful new age where we don't have to meet people anymore. We can say all these nasty things about them and not put our name to it. And what does that lead to? Anyway, back to our caller in a moment. Well, all right, east of the Rockies, guess what? You're back on the air again. I think you're on to something. Hi.
Hello. Well, right when you were on the break and you said that about, I don't know if you were talking about, you're talking about streaming video and people and blogs and that sort of thing. I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. But
have you ever noticed, though, a blog will start off with, something totally innocent. And if you let it go for a week or two, pretty soon people are picking on each other and you've got these raging fights going on. Have you ever noticed?
Or just like when you go through a drive-thru or when you're talking to a customer service representative on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really hadn't even thought of that. I did want to say also that, you know, a couple times religion was mentioned and the gentleman mentioned morals. And I kind of get a little, not necessarily defensive, but when I hear someone speak about morals as our problem, we definitely have a problem in values. But I don't know if we're sinning too much. I just think that maybe we value the wrong things as well. Like, you know, the guy in the Mr. Cho in his manifesto was talking about hedonists and how everyone had valued, you know, all these material things. And it really, you get the impression that this guy had lived on this campus for 8 months and just absolutely in a complete vacuum. Like, no one really even communicated with him very closely. And all these people were interested in material things and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Well, look, he was just one person. Let's look beyond that at our entire society right now. What has changed? That's worth asking. You look back at the 1940s and the 1950s, and it was very, very different. What's changed? Well, we have become a disconnected technological society, and if we don't want to be around people anymore, we don't have to be. If we don't want to go face-to-face with anybody anymore, if we don't want to interact with another person anymore, we don't have to, do we? That's something that's changed, and I'm not saying that's it because, again, I can't prove it. I'm only pointing out that our society we have become disconnected from each other. There was a day in this country where if you wanted to have a meeting with somebody, you had to actually go and meet that person. Not that it doesn't go on anymore, but a lot of it is handled by email or any other technological way, and we've got millions of them these days. So we don't actually have to meet and interact with other people anymore. We can do it all on the computer if we want to. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hi.
Art.
Yes.
How are you? My very first time calling. It's kind of weird. It kind of scared me.
Welcome.
Thank you. It was your question you asked about what's wrong with society, and I know everybody keeps talking about that subject. But, you know, everybody has a little piece of it that's right. I am a restaurant manager. It's what I've done all my life. All I've done my whole life is deal with people. And in every little aspect of our society, the human part of it, the humanity is gone.
I know.
Things as simple as applying for a job, the job I just took a year ago with this company, you know, until the day I started, I never met a person from the company. It
there
was all online, over the phone. And that's
exactly, that is exactly what I'm saying, sir. I really think, you know, if you're asking what has changed, what's happened to us, that's what's changed. We've become a technological society, but the social side effect of that is people who are disconnected. They're not meeting people anymore.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it is like it's pervasive in every part of our society. You know, I go to work. I have an hour and a half drive, and I am on the phone or driving. I'm originally from Georgia, but I live in Ohio now, and right. Down there even, people still say hi to each other. It's not like that here, and it's going away more and more and more. The only person we're accountable to is ourselves. I have four beautiful children that I am frightened to send to school most of the time because of what might happen or what could happen. Because no one cares anymore. And it's just a shame.
Well, they care, but I don't know that they care about the same things they once did. And again, if they want to avoid, thank you very, very, very much for the call. It was a good one. They don't have to meet anybody anymore. They don't have to have face-to-face conversations. That is what's changed in our society, isn't it? And it's not a small change. It's a big change. So what... Let's see. How can I phrase this? How do we watch out for it? I don't know that we can. And if anything, this change is becoming more profound by the year. We're finding newer and better ways to remain isolated. And the side effect of that is going to be ominous indeed. We're already seeing it all around us. It began how many years ago? Can anybody really put a finger on it? These senseless headshaker crimes, they began, I'd have to think about it a little bit, but I think we're kind of on to it. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, all right. Thank you for taking my call. This
sure.
Is Dennis calling. This is Dennis calling from Missouri.
Yes, Dennis.
I believe I have the bottom line as far as what's happening, and I say this as a warning. We're living in an age of God's grace, according to the Word of God, and this age is coming to a close. And as the birth of a new age draws near, is as a woman who is about to give birth. The closer to the time of the birth, the more frequent will be the contractions and more intense the pain until the birth of this new age. Losses shall increase, and earthquakes are going to be in many places. The Virginia Tech massacre will pale in comparison to the time of which after the Holy Spirit is removed at the end of this age and the Antichrist is revealed at the beginning of the new. There's only one hope for your listeners.
And that is?
For all of us. And that is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. It's beginning to sound like a sermon, and I'm. It's not that I'm in disagreement with this man. I just I don't want this to turn into a pulpit. It is not that. However, honestly, folks, I do believe that the move away from religion, organized religion, and it's been a mass move away from organized religion, is part of it. Somebody said earlier that these are the values that our parents instilled in us. And where did those come from? Well, it did come from a belief like that man was just talking about, didn't it? It did come from that. Whether or not our parents exposed us to some sort of organized religion, they did expose us to their values, and that's where those values came from. And so there's that, and then there's this wonderful question mark technological society that we have right now that allows us to become loners, allows us to live inside of ourselves, say anything we want without consequence. There was a day when you had to look into somebody's eye and tell them what you thought. And if it resulted in a fight, then it did. But more than likely, you weren't going to say it face to face. Or even picking up a telephone and having a conversation with them on the phone, you probably would not say what you'd be willing to write, let's say in a news group or an email, particularly one in which you didn't have to sign your own name. Or a fax, or perhaps a text, or some other technological wonder that allows you to be nameless and say whatever you want to say at any given moment. Certainly, it's part of it. I think we're on to something with this. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Is this Art Bell?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. This is the first time I ever called. I'm a first-time caller. My name is Kenyon. I'm from Troy, Michigan, and I was calling in about the whole Virginia Tech suicide thing and why society might be, you know, slightly responsible for all this. And I was wondering if possibly it's the amount of contradictions that younger generation is seeing within the adult population. You've got a president running around doing one thing and breaking the law, but talking about virtue and honesty, and the kids see this. And then they see within their parents, don't lie, but they cheat on their taxes. You can add a whole bunch of stuff to it. And I think, I mean, personally for me, this is kind of where I come from with society. I look around going, you say one thing and then you do another.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder if that
true.
Might be part of it.
Yes, of course it's part of it. Yes. Where cheating has become a part of life, where we see our parents cheat, we probably enlarge on that. Yeah, that's part of it too, I'm sure.
That's about, I think, all I really had to add right now. It was great talking to you, Art.
Thank you very, very much for the call. But again, this connected/disconnected society we have, connected more than ever, but disconnected more than ever, connected in a way that we can literally talk to anybody anywhere in the world. We can send them a message instantly. We never had that before, right? So in a way, we're more connected than we've ever been, but in another way, we're absolutely disconnected in that face-to-face, person-to-person way. It's gone. And then there's all these other factors as well, but technology certainly has taken over. And where's it going from here? Well, there'll be more and more and more of it. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. I've been a fan of yours since my children were in grade school. My grandchildren are now graduating, so that'll about date me, won't it?
And me. Thank you.
It's the first time I've ever called. It's the first time I've ever thought I had something important enough to spend your time on.
Fire away.
I got the idea last week when your guest was Dr. Brenda, whose last name I'm not going to attempt, who was talking about global warming.
Yes.
But it occurs to me after hearing Dr. Paglini tonight that the idea encompasses all of this. I think it's time for another Art Bell experiment.
Hmm.
I have heard you over the years a number of times do experiments in human intent.
I have, yes.
I believe, because I've seen it work over and over again, especially with Coast listeners.
Oh, it works.
You have the biggest audience of any single media entity in the world, probably.
Well, for this time of day, we certainly do, yes.
What if we did an experiment? Whatever evil is in the world, whether it's human evil, whether it's an evil entity, it doesn't matter what we believe it is. I still believe there are more of us than there are of whatever's evil.
For now, although I think that balance is changing as we speak. Now, let's go backwards a little bit. Before you say it doesn't matter which, let me ask you which you think it is. Do you think this is evil only in the mind of man, by man, or do you think there really is an external force at work?
To be really frank, I'm not certain.
No, me either.
I'm not certain.
Have you ever, can you remember a moment in your life when you have ever felt something that you would almost describe as an external force of pushing you in some sort of evil direction?
I can't say that I have. I have felt the opposite of that.
Okay.
I have felt an external force, you know, kind of pushing me the right way more often than not. You know, if I had a decision to make, I felt the force pushing me to do the thing that was best for me to do.
Well, you're right. I think you're right in that there's more good than there is evil in the world, but boy, you can sure feel one catching up on the other.
What if we did an experiment? What if you asked the Coast listeners? Maybe, you know, once every 2 months, just mention it. Set our intent. I was thinking when you were talking to Dr. Brenda and you said that, you know, the individual people would always do everything they could about global warming, but you weren't sure that the governments would.
That's right.
And the idea occurred to me at that time to suggest, what if we focus our intent on trying to, you know, change the energy of the government, trying to change their intent so that whoever are in the places of power will do the right thing. But listening to Dr. Paglini tonight, and she made the comment, we don't want to give it energy, these things that she's seeing.
Yes.
We don't want to give it energy, so why don't we give the other thing energy?
Because here's my problem. I'm not sure whether it always works the way you want it to work. In other words, you're suggesting that we try and affect government. That means try and affect the thinking of people, which is a very sophisticated use of this kind of experiment and one that scares the hell out of me. In other words, we're trying to force other people to have different thoughts in their mind. That's a very serious thing to try and do.
Let's not do it that way. Let's do it. Let's focus on changing the world back into the place we would like it to be. Let's focus. The other thing I wanted to mention to you, this goes back to last week at all. Also, a caller called in and asked you how on earth you could dare to bring a child into this world.
Mm-hmm.
With the world doing what it was.
Faith.
And your response was something along the lines of that you had faith
yes.
in life and in love and
That's
in
right.
human goodness and in all
That's
that.
Right.
And I wanted to
That's
tell
right.
you that you're absolutely right to have that faith. And that little girl is going to have a wonderful quality life. And I know that because I can just feel it in my bones.
I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that. Well, listen, I'm sorry I cut you off. I'm going to do everything humanly in my power to ensure that is the case. And yes. That's exactly right. How can I bring a youngster into the world now, a new life into the world now, with all that is around us, with all that seems to be going so wrong in the world right now, our environment, our social behavior, everything that we spend so much time on Coast to Coast talking about, how can I possibly bring a young life into the world knowing all of this? And the answer is, I guess, faith. I have to believe in the basic goodness of man. I certainly believe in love as the most important force in the world. And those are the things that allow me to do it. Otherwise, what is there? Might as well just give up, and I'm not prepared to do that. Are you? Well, I hope not. So... belief in all that is good is what keeps me going. And I do believe in love as the most powerful force in the world. Now, as far as an intent experiment is concerned, I'll consider it, but that's a rough one. From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I'm Art Bell. You know, the gun lobby always says guns don't kill people, people kill people. And they're absolutely right. But the big question should be, why are people so willing to kill people? Why has life lost so much value in the eyes of so many? We'll be right back. All right, back to unscreened open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. Now, we've been sort of focusing, I guess, on the state of society, you know, with this Virginia Tech thing and now the NASA thing yesterday and It seems like an awful lot all at once, doesn't it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I was very pleased to hear tonight. I don't know if you follow Bill Maher, the comic.
I don't, but go ahead.
Well, and to call him a comic is, you know, that does him an injustice. On HBO tonight, he had some interesting guests. And something he said at the end of the show, he went into the honeybee deal, and he quoted the Einstein thing that, you know, if the bees goes, then so goes everything else, and ultimately, within 4 years, it, you know, trickle down, trickle up, whatever, but there we go.
That's right.
And he said there was one lighthearted moment in all this where he did mention cell phones, et cetera, and all the things that you have been going over and yeah. You know, all the suppositions. And at the end, he said that maybe this is Mother Nature's way of saying, can you hear me now?
Yeah, somebody else once said that Mother Nature doesn't get mad, she gets even.
She gets even, yes, yes, yes.
Indeed. I'm a subscriber to that theory. If something is way out of balance, eventually Mother Nature brings it back into balance.
And right, right. Where was that? The river in Colorado, they tried to, I believe it was Colorado, they tried to redirect it. And no, it didn't last. It was a temporary fix.
Right.
And regarding evil, my late mother went round and round and round. We would have wonderful debates, and sometimes she thought, yes, evil was an absolute force which would then, you know, color people's lives in not a good way, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. My own feeling is, whether it matters, there may be other listeners like me, my take on evil is very much summed up in Stephen King's The Stand, The Walking Dude.
I agree completely with you. That movie is carved in my mind.
Oh, it's incredible. And if you get a chance between diaper changes and late nights, you might want to pick up the unabridged version of the book, The Stand.
I've read it several times.
Oh, you have the unabridged too. Okay, great.
Oh,
great.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's just so much more fleshed out, and it's wonderful.
I so very much appreciate your call. Thank you. Stephen King is consumed with evil, and he's got evil very well identified indeed. And it's in nearly all of his novels. I'm sure many, many, many of you are fans. But The Stand, of course, stands out as something that's just carved in my memory. My God, what a movie. And that's, you may recall, in the beginning of that movie, they used a piece of bumper music. Well, they wouldn't call it that. They used a piece of music that I use frequently as bumper music, and I don't need to tell you what it is. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. My name's Tammy, first-time caller.
Yes. Hi, Tammy.
I wanted to talk to you about the evil coming into the world. One of the things I see, I am a practicing druid, that you have all of these metaphysics shops, which do some of them do some wonderful work. But you're running into children opening portals, playing games with magic, both high and low magic, that you shouldn't touch it without at least 20 years' experience.
Well, that may well be. But it again begs the question, is this something that they're cooking up in their own minds, or is it truly an external influence that they're allowing or even promoting to enter their minds?
Art, I think a lot of it is when you start opening portals, it's you're inviting demonic forces in. And these are teenagers. They're getting a hold of books like the Necronomicon, several others that, as a high priestess, I would not let any child touch. More or less anybody that hasn't studied and is properly shielded, guarded, and know what they're doing.
From your point of view, as a druid, do you view evil as an external and powerful influence?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have seen it too many times. You know, I have seen the things that are black and oily and just scary. I've shut portals down. I've shut gateways down. And it's not fun, and it's scary. And I worry about the children, especially these young teenagers, and the adults, that they see it as a magic, as a game.
Yeah, it's certainly not a game.
It is not a game. It's real. And so much of our society and our media has portrayed it as light and fluffy and, you know, this is something you play with, and you don't.
And you think a lot more children are now, as you put it, playing with it.
Oh, yeah, they're playing with Ouija boards. Back to your comment earlier this evening. You know, it's the intent you put into it.
Sure.
But when you have got a child who is depressed, they're going through the hormonal chains of adolescence. Yeah, all of these things combined, you're opening up.
Yeah,
you know, and then you don't know, you get something through and you don't know how to shut it down. So then you have this entity loose.
Okay, well, here's a question that I'd like to, perhaps I'll just pose it to everybody. I can understand depression. I've been through severe depression. When Ramona died, I went through, I can't even describe to you how deep and horrible it was. And I can understand, for example, contemplating taking your own life for whatever reason. I can understand it. Most people probably at one time or another have contemplated it for whatever reason. What I cannot understand is the indiscriminate desire to take as many others with you as you can, which is what happened with Virginia Tech and so many other incidents that seem to have been on the increase lately. What's with that? I can only imagine that people somehow... Well, see, that's the problem. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what thought process brings somebody to think there is nothing after life. Nothing at all. To imagine there would be no retribution for whatever evil deeds they might commit on this side. I just can't wrap my mind around that, and I guess a lot of us are having that difficulty. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Mr. Bell, I am so happy to get through to you.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, this is Don the Paperboy from Brainerd, Minnesota.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'd like to make a couple points here if we have time. First thing is scientific consensus. It seems to me that you've made a career and a reputation of thumbing your nose at scientific consensus.
In some cases, I suppose, the programs we've had on the air have indeed stuck our nose in the air in front of scientific consensus, yes.
Yeah, let's talk about scientific consensus for a moment. The Earth is flat, the universe revolves around it, bloodletting will cure you, tobacco use is good for you. Those are some examples of scientific consensus.
In the past, yes.
It seems like you were rather impressed with that last weekend with your guest. And the second thing would be the tipping point.
Okay, now we're at global warming, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Your guest last weekend said that there is such a thing as a tipping point, but she doesn't know where it is.
Okay.
The planet has been warming for how long?
Well, it depends on, I suppose, who you listen to, but certainly in the last several decades, I think there is scientific consensus.
Since the last ice age, I think would be the scientific consensus.
I'm not sure about that. They talk about the last several decades with respect to, wait a minute, with respect to the additional, I think she said, 50% that she attributes to man's hand beyond normal cyclical change.
Yeah, okay, but the planet has been warming since the last ice age on a consistent basis. And my point is, how do we know we haven't reached the tipping point because of the constant warming since the last ice age?
The answer is we don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
It's kind of like the sun cycle, sir. We don't know that the sun has officially begun a new cycle until about 6 or 8 months after it's happened. So I suppose it's very much the same with a tipping point as far as the climate is concerned. We'll know about it, but probably only after it's happened.
My contention is we're seeing it now.
Okay.
And my last point is technological innovation is economically driven. Would you say
yes,
that we're more able to deal with catastrophic climate change now than in, say, 1900?
Yes, I would say we are. We probably are more equipped to move large numbers of people quickly if we have to.
Well, my point is, if we've already reached a tipping point because of the fact that the planet's been warming since the last ice age, why should we hobble our technological innovation by hurting our economy?
Oh, I wouldn't think that we necessarily should. I'm not saying that, and nor do I believe that we're going to begin going backwards. We're not. We're going to keep marching forward, whether it's the emissions into the air. I don't for one second think that we're going to suddenly change our ways. I don't. I don't believe it. I think that our economy is dependent upon what we're doing right now, and we're going to keep doing it until there is some crisis so severe that everybody almost in one voice says we have got to stop now. And by then, of course, as he points out, it may already be too late. So that's my belief. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Bell. This is Michelle from Pennsylvania. How are
Hello,
you doing?
Michelle. I'm fine.
The reason I'm calling is I'm very concerned about what I'm seeing. Everybody needs to respond by April 30th this month on the both President Bush and Congressman Murtha on this docket number 2006, B as in Delta, -0480, draft guidance for industry on complementary and alternative medicine products and the regulation by the Food and Drug Administration. Basically, it says here,
They just keep coming back again and again and again on this subject, don't they?
Yes, it says real quick here, the move by the FDA is designed to once and for all destroy the 1994 DSHEA law that has made supplements legal while eliminating nutritional supplements and natural medicine from the United States, ensuring monopoly profits and control by big companies and the FDA. FDA experts will decide what's a drug or medical device
right
under these proposed guidelines. They're saying that they will decide whether herbs, supplements, vitamins, or simple devices like massage stones are to be regulated as drugs and medical devices. So if people do not want to see this happen, and essentially they will be outlawed, stripped from the shelves, and regulated out of existence, and anyone who dares to manufacture, promote, or sell such products may be branded as a criminal and rounded up by armed FDA agents. You can write the president, you can write your congressman. I don't know if complaining to the FDA is going to solve, but I wanted to bring this up.
Okay, well, I'm glad you did. Thank you very much. It is true. They keep coming back and back and back to this. They want to control virtually everything. Virtually anything that you might go buy, a so-called supplement, they want to be able to control it. And this is something that I've not understood for all the time that they've been after it, and they do keep coming back to it. So as she pointed out, you might want to call your congressman or call your senator and have a word or two with them about it. In fact, where I spent, 8 months in the Philippines, as an example, over the counter, you could buy Tamiflu. Over the counter, you could buy antibiotics. Now, that was not abused there. There were not antibiotic junkies running in and buying it on a whim. In fact, people watch their pesos very carefully there. Tamiflu, there were not Tamiflu junkies who would go in and buy Tamiflu and, I've got to have my Tamiflu. It was not regulated. You could walk into a drugstore and buy it. And it was handled and has been handled for year in, year out very well by the Philippine people. And I'm at a loss to understand why they wish to control supplements, vitamins, that sort of thing. How many people are abusing this? I don't think that many. And yet the FDA keeps coming back to it and back to it and back to it. And these bills get knocked down, but they keep coming back. What do they want? Wildcard line, you're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Bell? This is a tree planter up on the north coast of Oregon.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
I like to give you a quick resume of a little bit of myself. I have a graduate degree in cultural anthropology.
Okay.
And over the last 10 or 12 years, I've been listening to your program longer, I put together what I call a cultural anthropological survey. Four questions, yes or no, no equivocating. The respondents answer yes or no, all right? Question number one, because this is going to lead into what you're talking about tonight, the change in our society. Okay. Question number one, and I direct this mostly at young people. When I'm not in the woods planting trees, I like to hang out at the finer coffee houses of the Northwest. A lot of young people, 20-something, you know, I'm sort of a slacker off-season.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time here, so hit us with the questions.
Do you trust your government? Question number two, do you trust the organized, established paradigm of spirituality, i.e. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and then I do a generic Buddhism? Question number three, do you trust the organized, established paradigm of economics, i.e. multinational corporations, capitalistic? The fourth question, yes or no, do you trust the public K through 12 educational program? Overwhelmingly, the answers are no, 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 and no. So in this survey, what I ask, first I have to have a control group. I go back to when I was 18 in 1960, and if I would have been asked those questions, I would have said yes, 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 and yes.
I'm not sure that I would have given yeses to all of them, but you are certainly right to a degree. For example, when I was a youngster, and I'm sure when you were a youngster, we trusted the FBI. If the FBI came to a microphone or went on television and said, look, we've captured so-and-so or we're looking for so-and-so, you could be damn sure, and they came out and they made a statement, you would trust the FBI. You would simply trust them, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's been eroded. I'm not sure when the erosion began, but the answer is finally, for more people than not, probably turn now to no.
Okay,
you're right.
This is what I have to come up with. What does this signify? And what I believe it signifies is when the young people of any civilization reject the four pillars of every civilization, leadership, mm-hmm. spirituality, mm-hmm. education, and a way of the society sustaining itself, an economy, whether it's hunting, gathering, or high-tech, whatever. Those are the four components of every civilization. When young people reject those and no longer trust them,
then you're lost.
That means that what's been handed down is rejected.
And I got it. Sir, I'm up at a break point. You don't have to go any further. Believe me, I've got it, and I agree with you. When you give all four of those a big no, you're in trouble. We'll be right back. You know, with respect to that caller, I think those four questions, you've got to equivocate a little bit. What were those four questions? Do you trust your government? Well, no, would be my answer. But we still have the best form of government on the face of the earth. Now, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, there's nothing like it. You know, it's simply the best. Is it being adhered to? Are we following it as we should? No. We're being pushed in a million different directions. Terrorism and the war on terror hasn't helped, has it? The second one, do you trust your religion or your spiritual path? My answer would be yes. That's individual. Economics. Do I trust all large corporations? No. But our system of economics is the very best. There's no question about it. That's a big yes. I think that we've shown the world, and the world is pretty much following along. Education, I had to put a question mark by that one. So I can't answer those four questions without some equivocation. I wonder if you can. We'll be right back. Well, all right, unscreened open lines. Remember, everybody, when I tell you you're on the air, please immediately turn thy radio off. Not down, but all the way off, or it'll be confusing. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Ed from Peoria, Illinois.
Yes.
I would like to talk about that Virginia Tech. I think we are all to blame for it. Because of the simple fact, We go out and we buy video games that introduces violence, and we're telling the companies that, yes, we do want the these kind of games sold. And we
do you play video games?
Yes, I do.
You play violent video games?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes.
Does it cause you to have thoughts to go get a gun? And you sound young. How old are you?
I am 25.
25?
Yes.
Are you having thoughts of grabbing a gun and going to kill a bunch of people?
No.
No?
But there are some people that we look at people and we say, well, they're okay, but they're showing us the signs that they need help, and we just turn a blind eye to them.
Well, that's an entirely, I agree with you there, and certainly you're on to a completely different subject. We've run over this one for a long time. Television. Television seems to glorify violence a lot of times, doesn't it? Video games, I suppose, yes, there's a lot of violent video games out there, but I still don't believe that they're what's contributing to what's happening right now. I don't think that Virginia Tech happened because of video games. I don't think it happened because of television. But I do think it happened because of a larger societal change. I think that, that's just me. Anyway, there it is, up for offering. He said it. You can agree or disagree. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello. This is Matt Beasley calling from Tennessee.
Okay, Matt, I can't allow you to give your last name on the air, so let's begin afresh. Your name is Matt, and you're calling from Tennessee.
Yes, I live in the Bible Belt.
Yes, sir.
I think I have a question or answer to your question.
Proceed. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay. things that are happening in our society or the way of the world. I've lived in Tennessee all my life, and people used to, wave their finger when they're driving by, and slowly it's going away. I think the reason is greed. Money is the root of all evil. I don't want to say that, is all of the 100% cause of it. But people have just lost their sense of, like you said earlier, talking to people, looking people in the eye. I mean, when you go into the convenience store, you look at your money, you give the money to the person, you don't look them in the eye anymore. You don't say thanks. You don't say hey.
I'm not at all sure that money is the root of all evil. I know that's a nice little catchphrase and it's been used for a long time, but I'm not at all sure that it's really it's not the root of all evil. I think that the lack of interpersonal contact may be the root of all evil. I'm going to give that some thought, though. West of the Rockies. You would have been on the air. Let's make it east of the Rockies. You are on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Art?
Yes.
The reason I called is because they keep coming back to make supplements illegal so that they'll have a brand new market to sell to the American people in the black market and get good prices for it. And don't you think we have enough people in prison? They should go after real criminals, not people selling vitamin C and vitamin E. But, in fact, people will still want to buy vitamin E and vitamin C, and they will have to buy it through the black market. So now we have a new set of bureaucracy and a new set of criminals. And not to quote the Bible, but it does say in the last days they will tell you what to eat, and that's just a shadow of the things to come. So, and if I could say one more thing about the drug dealer that was shot by the border guards.
Yes.
Don't you think it's strange that he got away wounded and that he had the nerve to call Homeland Security? Why would he call Homeland Security if he escaped? Don't you think he'd be afraid that he'd get caught for those drugs that he was bringing into our country?
One would imagine.
Yeah, you would think so, unless maybe he was working for him.
Well, I certainly hope not. And as far as the supplements are concerned, yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea why the FDA keeps coming back to it. They really do want control of that market. Now, maybe it has something to do with the fact that, you know, to go to a doctor these days and to get, let's say you've got the flu, and you're afraid that your flu is turning into some sort of walking pneumonia or something like that. Well, right now you've got to go to the doctor. That's going to be anywhere between $50 and $150 for an office visit to get prescribed some sort of antibiotic to get rid of the infection you've got. Imagine if to get a supplement like, I don't know, vitamin C, vitamin whatever, or some other supplement, you've got to go to a doctor for all of that. Well, maybe money is the root of this evil. Something to think about anyway. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Bobby. The fake mainstream media is the reason that the world is going bad. They sow fear. They try to divide people and keep them down. Ever since they introduced the term political correctness, they've been at war on the regular American people. And the grand finale is that they're trying to cover up the 9/11 inside job, and 9/11 truth movement is going to bring them down. God bless America.
Okay, guess that's all he wanted to say. I continue to believe what I've believed in right along, and that is that 9/11 is exactly what it appeared to be. The people who ran those planes into that building are exactly who they appeared to be. I don't think that some secret cabal in our government is responsible for it. I certainly don't think the government that we see is responsible for it. And I'm willing to learn otherwise. And yes, I have seen the videos. Yes, I've read the books. How could I not? With so many people encouraging me to do so, it has not pushed me to the point where I'm willing to speak out and say, look what our government did to itself. I just don't believe that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, it's Harry. I'm calling from Arizona. I'm actually a first-time caller.
Yes, sir.
And how about this one? I've heard a lot of reasons for the reason of the downfall of society. And some people have are really hitting pretty close.
Yes.
My thought was is that it has a lot to do with individual responsibility and the fact that nobody is held accountable anymore.
You're exactly right. I guess that's what I was saying when I was saying we live in a day and age where you can write anything you want about anybody, not sign your name to it, and, as you point out, not take responsibility for it.
Right. I mean, for example, in the late 80s and early 90s, what happened? It wasn't your fault, or it wasn't somebody's fault that they were smoking and they died or they got cancer. It was mm-hmm. the tobacco industry's fault. It wasn't the drunk driver that ran over the teenager in the street. It was the beer manufacturer. It couldn't possibly be, you know, these criminals that are committing these crimes. It had to be the gun manufacturers.
Yeah, and I think we've begun to make bartenders responsible. If somebody gets drunk and goes out and gets in a car and kills somebody, we'd take it all the way back to the bartender that served the booze.
Right, exactly. And whether it had anything to do with religion or morals and values, I don't know. But you look at some other classic examples. In the mid-90s, we had a president of the United States who was engaged in some things that weren't exactly right.
Yes,
and,
yes, we did.
You know, he wasn't held accountable. I don't believe he was held accountable for it. And most recently, I think it was last year, I don't remember the state, but the woman who put her baby and microwaved it to death, and it wasn't her fault. No, it couldn't be her fault because she had postpartum depression. And all I know is women have been giving birth for thousands of years, and what in the last 20 years this thing has come up, and now it's just okay for women to do that.
Well, now there's an excuse for everything, isn't there?
Exactly. And it's in the last 20 to 30 years, I think one of the big three reasons for our downfall in society is the fact that nobody can be held accountable for what they do anymore. The blame always has to be put somewhere else because that's what we want to see. We want to see someone else blamed.
Do you think that's a natural outgrowth of, in quotes, our system, our legal system, for example, that allows all of this, or what?
I think it is because, you know, and again, it might revolve around money because, you know, these lawyers need a job, and we can't blame people for their actions anymore, because that would be politically incorrect, like one of your last callers just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point, and it's a very, very good discussion. And by the way, I would like to give props to the callers. I think it's been a night of unusually a good calls. Let me leave it at that. Unusually good calls. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I've been listening for a couple of weeks now, every night. And what I think the root of all this comes down to basically the mass media. They're out to make a buck. They want sensationalism. And no matter what network you're on, no matter what internet website you're on, there is some mass media constantly flashing the most sensationalized news or what have you constantly.
That is true.
Constantly being thrown in our face, no matter what we do, and it comes just like a caller here a little while ago was talking about that the mighty dollar is the root of all evil. The mass media wants, of course, money. Whoever runs the mass media company wants its money, right?
Look, everything in media is driven by ratings. Ratings equal money. Money equals ratings. So in our society where we have free speech, how do you change what you're complaining about?
You know, they've seemed to have been able to learn how to capitalize off of negativism. Like that one woman was talking about, that one HBO fella. I don't have a TV. I think it's John Mayer or Jim Mayer or some of his show.
Classic. It's human nature that we watch negative things. I think part of it is, oh, look what's happened to that person or that group. Thank God it wasn't me. And we sit there, you know, watching it glued to the tube, as it were. And that's just the way it is. For example, if I came on the air and I did nothing but a good news show, I can assure you I would be off the air faster than you can say commercial.
And unfortunately, Art, I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree. I got rid of
question is, does seeing this negative news drive people to commit negative acts? Does it drive people to commit murder?
I think it drives everyone, including myself, because I deal with others that are constantly watching this stuff. It makes everyone doom and gloom, and the world is bad, and all this. And there is one big good thing which has been happening, which does not get front page news, and that's this economy that we have. I'm sorry, Art, I have to say it. The economy. Look at this. The Dow is almost 13,000 today. It's nowhere to be seen. Sorry, that's it. That's all I had to say. It's just doom and gloom by the media.
Okay, thank you very much. So he thinks it's doom and gloom served up daily by the media. Well, it's worth considering, but it's what people want. People want bad news. That's it. That's what they want. If they didn't want that, if they wanted good news, if they wanted rosy little, happy little shows, that's what they'd get, because it's all driven by ratings. People are getting what they want, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
It's Jim in Los Angeles.
Yes, Jim.
And I'd like to pick up the conversation where a few people have left off, and I don't claim to have a handle on the cause of it. I think there's probably several causes, but I might be able to offer a solution.
Okay.
And that's to borrow from a very old expression. I don't know who to attribute it to, but along the lines of, for evil to succeed, good men must do nothing.
That's right.
And I'd like to consider myself a good man, and you probably have 5 to 10 million others who consider themselves to be good men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps instead of turning it into one of Art's consciousness experiments, perhaps we as individuals could go out and do a little good on our own instead of, for instance, as the caller the previous hour wanted to perhaps influence the government to take certain action.
Right.
I'm not sure that we need them. I would not, I can't remember the last time I bought an incandescent light bulb. And there are other things that, you know, simple and complex that we can do, and we can, let's say, you know, 10 million people times 10 people we can get our hands on. Changing light bulbs, putting the right amount of air in our tires, making, you know, trying to make our voices known that we'd like to be able to buy vitamin C without having to sneak around.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're right.
These are all things that we can do as what I guess we want to think of ourselves as good people, things we can do to improve it at the macro level at least. And then if the movement gets big enough, eventually improve the whole situation.
Well, there's an element too that there can be unpredictable results when we let the government do it. I ate at a restaurant recently that had a sign on the wall, and you may have seen the same sign saying, due to the loss of your American rights, you cannot smoke here anymore. And that was a result of the Clean Air, the Clean Indoor Air Act. Mm-hmm. And I certainly like the benefits, but I wish it didn't have to come to that to make it a top-down, you must do this kind of approach.
Well, I agree with you. Bit by bit, little by little, it's sort of what once was an absolute right is no longer so. So it is changing, isn't it? what a show. From the high desert, great American Southwest, I'm Art Bell. Oh, how interesting was that? Newscast during this last hour, somebody was asking for some presidential commission to answer the question, how can we prevent another Virginia Tech? And the clear answer to that is that you can't. In a nation that resembles any shadow of itself, it's the original documents that made us what we are today, you don't prevent it. If somebody is willing to give their life to take your life, the odds are heavily in their favor. And without turning America into an armed camp, you don't prevent it. We'll be right back. You know, when we ask that question about whether you believe evil is manifested only in the mind of man by man, or whether we think it's some sort of external non-human force, it's interesting because if we say it's some sort of external non-human force, then we don't have to answer the really hard questions, do we, about what's changed in us. We can say, oh, it's the devil, you know, Lucifer. He made me do it. He made that guy do it. But if we acknowledge that what has changed is inside of us or in our nation or in our society, then we are suddenly face to face with a lot of really hard to answer questions, aren't we? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, love your show, man. Hey,
I wanted
to touch on what you were saying before. I totally agree that, you know, what we've gone from in society before, you know, about us not in getting in touch with people is that Sunday, you know, we turned into another day to get something else done. And it's like, where are people going home and just spend time with their families? You know, it's like, you know, no one's doing anything with each other. We're just, oh, let's get more done. You know, it's kind of sad to see that.
Yes. The family day is largely gone, isn't it? You're right. You're absolutely correct.
And, you know, when people say that the media is kind of, you know, they're doing their negative shows, and it's like, well, you know, they're not telling you to go out and do it or even to watch their show.
No.
If you want to watch it, enjoy it. But, you know, there's plenty of other stuff out there. And you can
How much do you consider that you personally are affected by what's on television?
It affects my thinking about, you know, how messed up our world has become, but
you know, it really doesn't put me in a bad enough mood to, you know, change me or change
In other words, it does not drive you to an individual action.
Right. I mean...
Well, that's what I think, too.
You know,
I think that the negative news is a drumbeat that's kind of hard to listen to. And yet, we should all admit that we're drawn to it because it's what we're asking for. Believe me, the networks are not doing anything that you don't want. I mean, there may be some individuals out there who will say, oh, I hate this. But they don't miss a moment of it. So you're not getting anything that you're not really demanding as a group. Something you need to give a little thought to. Something I need to give a little thought to. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Hi. Is this Art?
Yes.
Hi. Pleasure to meet you. I've been listening for years, and the first time I finally got through is great. I know everybody
okay.
says that.
Get a little closer to the telephone, sir. You're a little weak.
Okay. Is that any better?
That's better.
Okay. Yeah, it's great. I'm sure everybody says that, but... I have a feeling that a lot of the problem of what's going on today is caused by evil, spiritually speaking, lack of responsibility, and I believe it's all designed to be that way, the dumbing down of kids and education over the years, and things that happen in schools from the lower grades on through, a lot of bullying thing that goes on, and the schools do absolutely nothing about it. And if a kid tries to defend themselves, they get expelled.
Well, the bullying has always gone on. It went on when I was a child. I'm sure it went on when you were a child. In other words, not much has changed in that area that I'm aware of. There have always been bullies around. Are they around in larger numbers? Are more kids being affected? I don't know. At least it's face to face. As we get older and as our society changes, what I was complaining about earlier, I continue to complain about, and that is, we don't have much face to face communication of any sort. At least at school, you're seeing each other. It's after school that I worry about. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Okay, this is Val in Utah, and I wanted to say that. I think that evilness is definitely a force, and it has the same qualities. I mean, it hates, it kills, it destroys, and it's a force that is in the world, and it can permeate into a human being. It can permeate into a human being who could be good.
So, in other words, wait. Let me be clear. You think that evil is an external force, right?
It's a force that's in this world. Yeah,
okay, well,
yeah.
That is what
and
you're saying.
It has the same qualities.
Okay, that is what you're saying then, that evil is an external force. And the problem with that is that if you believe it, it makes it too easy to say, well, then, okay, there's not a damn thing I can do about it. You know, it's Lucifer, and he's expanding his domain, and he's taking over more and more souls. And so there's really nothing I can do about it but hide, get my gun, and cower in the corner. Because evil is going to come and get me. But if, in fact, it's a change in all of us, then there is at least something that can be done, something that's in our control. I guess I don't want to believe it's out of our control. I don't want to believe that we're little puppets, marionettes, dancing at the end of a string, and that free will actually doesn't exist. It's just something that we believe. It's all a joke. There is no free will. It's actually Lucifer pulling on our strings, and we're doing the dance. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. Years ago, when I was a kid, you know, they had cowboys that shot each other, and you saw very little blood.
That's right.
And Joseph Wambaugh had a show on years ago called Police Story, and he was very disappointed that when people got shot, because he's an ex-police officer, mm-hmm. and when people got shot, it didn't show what a gun can really do. It didn't show that a .357 Magnum or a .44 can rip bone and flesh. And so my question to you is, do you think that sanitized violence is contributing to society's lack of true sensitivity? Because it kind of falls into a half-truth is worse than a lie.
Well, look, I remember that, of course. There was rarely any blood at all. There was certainly nobody's brain getting blown up against the wall. There was not all the things we have today. So today, you know, as long as you've got one of the pay networks, for example, no problem. You'll see all the results of violence you want. And if anything, we certainly live in a society where violence has increased, not decreased. We've shown the effects of violence, and it's still increasing.
We do, but on network television, it doesn't really get the point across to anybody that you could shoot somebody and not really show the devastating, horrific effects of what a missile can do to the human body. And I keep thinking if you show what this really can do to a person, then that might kind of make people back off a little bit instead of giving them that video game mentality that I got another life to live or people don't really get hurt that bad.
Okay, well, I think what you've just said was once possibly true. It was possibly an answer. But I think modern society has dispensed with that. If anything, we've got more blood and gore and the effects of violence now shown graphically on television and in the movies than ever before. And we've got more violence. So I don't think, and we did once collectively kind of suppose that sanitized violence was causing more people to commit it. Well, I don't think that that can be said any longer. I think that today, if anything, we've gone the other way and we're really showing the effects. In fact, going over dramatically in that area. We see brains splattered all up against the wall, heads getting lopped off with the gushers of blood, and I don't really need to go on, do I? So while that once might have been a suggestion, I don't think it is any longer. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Is this Art?
Yes, it is, sir. You've got kind of a bad cell connection, but go ahead.
Okay. I was wanting to call and let you know I feel that this thing that you're talking about tonight about the violence and everything, I feel that it is a direction of Satan. I mean, that anytime you fall away from the teachings and stuff of scriptures and like your mother and father, my mother and father, they taught us to respect our country, respect our flag, respect...
Mm-hmm.
Elders, whether they were your mother and father or not,
that's
and
true.
We have this new society that we have where they've taken religion and things out of school where it's changed everything. It's you have no more control over your children. The Bible says to raise a child in the way he should go and he'll carry it into his older age. And, I feel it's a direct deal from Satan because he is the author of evil.
Okay, but the problem I have with that is that if we say it's Satan, that means it's not us. Right? It's really us, isn't it? If we say it's the devil, then that's kind of like the lawyer who goes in court and says, well, it's PTSD or it's the effects of, the hormones after you had your child that made you microwave it or whatever. It's always something else. It's always external. Just a thought. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from Louisiana.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
And hi. I actually feel privileged to talk to you because I've listened to you off and on for, 11 years now.
Long time, yes.
Yeah. And what I wanted to say, Art, about the school shooting, I have studied history and read books a lot. I'm a big historical fanatic. And I know that what happened today, this week, was really a horrible thing, but I guess as much as I read history, I see the world not really changed. I mean, some of the things that happened 200, 300 years ago, I mean, you had the Spanish Inquisition. You had murders happening all the time. And I don't mean to be insensitive to what happened this week. But I think man is, I do believe in Satan, of course, Catholic. But I also believe that... man is inherently evil, and really, if you study history, you see that this is really nothing new, that you have people like this who will just do things like this. And it just
so you really think that nothing has changed, that this kind of violence has always been there to this degree? You really believe that?
Well, I mean, not in this country, because we're such a new country, but if you read, you know, if you study, like, well, read, like, the things that happened during the French Revolution, even, you know, the American Revolution.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, just horrible things that were done to children. I mean, you used to have children hung who were starving for stealing bread because they were hungry. They were orphans, and they were put in workhouses. And I know I'm sound like I'm kind of rambling because I'm a little nervous, but I have a son that's 14, and he's in school. And one thing, I just wonder if maybe also if four people would have rushed this guy, how many people would he have killed? And it's like a question, do you want to be the one? Do you want your kid to be the one to rush him and maybe make a sacrifice so he can't kill more people? It's almost like a victim mentality. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Right. I went through Hurricane Katrina, and when I was trapped in a hotel room, and there were thugs all around me, all around us, and it was like being in a death trap. And what was, you know, I thought, if they bust in here, what am I going to do? I'm going to fight them. I'm not going to let them.
Yeah, the human behavior was very nearly as bad as the natural catastrophe, wasn't it?
Yeah, except it was more of a personal level, because a hurricane is just, it's a big storm. But when I was in actual fear for our lives, and that hotel room was almost like a death trap, if somebody would rush in there and do something to us, it's like, am I just going to sit there and let them do it, or will I rush them and stop them if I have to? And maybe, just maybe, they can't get a bullet into me or my kid, you know?
Maybe.
Right. Maybe. Exactly.
Listen, I truly appreciate your call, and I don't know. How many crimes have been committed by people who are licensed to carry weapons? And I'm not really suggesting, I don't think, that people should be licensed to carry weapons in school, or am I? Maybe teachers should be licensed to carry weapons. Perhaps school guards. It's my understanding they did not have weapons. They were not allowed. The guards, that is, at Virginia Tech, were not allowed to carry weapons. I believe that is correct. Is it proper? As I said earlier, we can sit here, I suppose, in 2020 hindsight and think of all kinds of things, but really, when somebody's willing to give up their own life to take yours, they're probably going to get it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
It is.
Great. You sound so different. Let me turn my radio off.
Yes, please.
First thing, thank you for taking my call. It's nice to meet you. I think I'm the first time I've called you.
Yes, sir.
And my name's Pete. And I'm from San Diego.
Go right ahead.
I was just thinking about how you think, I think society has got a little sicker since all the shooting things. Because I was looking back in my memory of when I went through a typhoon when I was about 10 years old in Canada, and how we helped share each other's gas stoves on the city block.
To the best of my knowledge, you don't have typhoons in Canada. There could be a hurricane. Occasionally they make it up there.
Typhoon Frida, for some reason, was called Typhoon Frida, and came in from Japan. It was just a windstorm, no rain.
Okay.
That's all I remember.
That sounds very unusual, but okay.
Yeah, it was very unusual with over 100-mile winds. But the thing that was interesting is when the power was off, we had a gas stove. So we shared our stove with several people on the blocks to eat. Now, I don't know if people today would do that or not around here. Do you know what I mean? If we had
On occasion, when terrible things happen, people do gather around and help each other. I think not as much as they once did, and I'm sorry to say that Katrina and what occurred in New Orleans and some of the behavior that immediately began when that hurricane hit was pretty deplorable. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
Paul, well, actually, this is Paul from Bennington, Vermont.
Yes, sir.
I believe good and evil exist in every person from the time they're born. I believe if you're a baby and you're brought up with cigarettes being put on you, you're brought up evil. I mean, that's what you learn. If you are brought up in a wealthy family or even a middle-class family and you're nurtured all through life, I believe that you're taught good. I believe that very few are inherently evil people. I believe that that does exist, but I believe it exists within each person.
Okay, I can accept that. I don't know about cigarettes being evil per se. I'm going to have to give that one some thought. You know my background. All right. It's been a fascinating night, and I must say the quality of caller has been absolutely exceptional this night. From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I'm Art Bell. Good morning from the Kingdom of Nye. It has been one fascinating, probably inevitable discussion this night about all the violence that's been occurring and really the root cause of it. And we'll get back to that discussion with you in a moment. Unscreened open line calls. Here we go. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art, it is quite a blessing to be talking to you tonight. My name's Ted. I'm in Macon, Georgia. I'm a pharmacist. I work the night shift, and Coast to Coast helps me get through the night. If you want to ask me about the nutritional supplements, that's fine. But the thing I want to call about was the big issue that you're talking about tonight is what's wrong. I think what's wrong is the lack of accountability to a creator and finding our security from that creator. We're all caught up in technology. We need cell phones. We need home alarm systems. We need this and that. We need the government to look after us. And I think it just dwells that we don't find our security from the creator.
Okay. I'm certainly willing to accept that. And it's whether or not our children have that, if we pass those values on to our children, it seems to work.
Yes, it does, Art. I'm very thankful my parents passed that on along to me, and I'm working on passing it on to my two children. I think that gets you through difficult times, and everybody experiences difficult times. We all have times of depression and times of joy, good days and bad days, and you need something other than yourself to get you through it, and it's not the government. The government only comes after a problem, and they're just trying to clean up a mess.
That's right. All right, now, since you are a pharmacist, go ahead and comment on that, which you probably didn't want to. What do you think about this whole FDA clampdown?
Well, I think a lot of it goes to everybody's trying to look out for themselves. And the FDA, they're worried that if they don't start controlling these products, that at some point a consumer may get a hold of something akin to the old days of snake oil, and something bad will happen. They'll go, where was the FDA? Where was the government? They're not going to take accountability for themselves. I don't think it's the doctors, because truthfully, the doctors are getting pinched just like everybody else. It's the administrative drug companies and the insurance companies that are trying to pinch the doctors. So they don't really want any more patients coming in. They're having a hard time dealing with the flow of patients they have.
Fair enough. So, that's true.
Yeah, that motive is just not there. And the doctors, they're trying not to be bad guys, Art. They're trying to see all the patients that they can. And what's happening is doctors are not getting paid as much as they used to. And something that my dad and mom told me is if you live in a society where policemen and firemen, teachers and doctors aren't reimbursed for their services, society is going to go into a downfall. And already policemen and firemen, we all know, they don't get paid anything. Why they do
well,
it?
Well, I was going to go along with you on the policemen and the firemen and the teachers, but I'm not sure that I'd lump them in with the doctors.
Well, the doctors, they are getting reimbursed the same, but they're doing a lot more work as time goes on. I have a cousin that's a doctor, and I've discussed with him a lot about what's going on in his office, and he's a general practitioner, the old family doctor. And they're just getting overwhelmed with patients, and they're trying their best to see them as well as they can, but at some point, you can't make any more doctors that quick. There's a big shortage with pharmacists, same thing. You can't just stamp a badge on somebody's name, and here you go, here's a doctor, here's a pharmacist. We now have enough healthcare providers to handle the growing aging population. And so everybody's getting pushed. Everybody's getting pushed. And then the insurance companies, the people there, they're just trying to do their job. They're trying to make money for their company. Instead of everybody looking at the big picture, and we oftentimes need to sacrifice ourselves for someone else because we know in the creator's bigger picture, that is what we need to do.
All right. Well, I certainly appreciate your comments. Thank you very, very much for calling. And we're kind of short on time. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going quite well, thank you.
It proves that unscreened calls are much better than screened.
Well, it proves something.
It proves, yeah, everybody's talking about the same time because everybody's keeping in order here. Nobody's going astray. But anyway, yeah, about this incident, the shooting now, number one, I really strongly believe NBC made a big boo-boo by advertising this guy on the air saying, hey, yeah. You can shoot a bunch of people and you'll be nationally, shown all over the place. So, it just gives a message to everybody else saying, hey, you can shoot people and you'll be televised all over the world, you know.
Yeah, NBC made a decision.
Yeah, so that was really sort of stupid.
I notice everybody else very nearly followed right along.
Yeah, it's just sending a message to people, hey, you could do something really horrible, and hey, look, you'll be immortal, you'll be on TV, and that's the wrong idea. I won't even say the guy's name, number one. You just call him the shooter, that's it, period. It's an incident that happened. Once you do that, these things will slow down. Now we got schools closing all over the United States because other guys are going, hey, maybe I can do this. There's guns that are missing. And, if they didn't televise this thing, we wouldn't have all these schools shutting down like there are. So they have to take it a little more responsibility and just say he's a shooter, that's it, and just let the police do their work and just keep it down. And number one, why this happened initially is basically our population is growing globally, okay? United States is growing exponentially. It's just growing huge. Okay, when you say wow, bound to that happen, there are 1,000,000 to 1. Well, there's millions of people, so it's bound to happen sooner or later. As our population increases, therefore, strange and unusual things will take place, such as this shooting. And it'll happen even more since there's even more people. The thing is, screening people and about guns, the gun thing, I think all guns, since it's we go to stores and we purchase items in the stores and we have little tiny RFID things that track you when you go out of the store if it shows if you stole them something. Why don't we put RFID tracking devices in the handle of these guns and have sensors near public areas like schools, libraries, places where there's large masses of people so the alarm will go off telling that there's a gun. And a gun should be checked yearly. You have to bring in your gun, see if the RFID chip is still inside that handgun. And that would be a good way to track people away from, taking a gun into a place where there's a large amount of people where this could happen. Right?
If we were starting from ground zero right now and there were no guns out there and we could control all the guns that got put into hands, that might be a really good idea. The downside of what you said is there's already millions and millions of guns, hundreds of millions of guns, and so it's not practical.
Yeah, like some of the new guns, what they have now is what's called fingerprint identification, that biometric.
Right.
They have guns with biometric now. Those are the next generation guns that are coming out. What they're trying to do is make guns a little safer so that they're not used in situations like massive crimes and stuff. So eventually we can get rid of the old series guns and replace them with new safer guns that are used for just home defense rather than taking them out and going into public places and just going on a rampage, which is completely irresponsible. I mean,
thank you very much. You don't see a lot of crimes or really any crimes being committed by people who are licensed to carry guns, do you? You might, on the other hand, if more states would take it up, my state, for example, Nevada, you can be licensed to carry a gun. I think in more states than not now, you can be licensed to carry a gun. Now, whether teachers should be licensed to carry guns or not, I think is a question that perhaps ought to be open for debate. I know that inevitably this kind of thing raises a hue and cry immediately about guns. But they're not the problem, are they? And that's not what we're discussing tonight, really, or it certainly ought not be. We're discussing the people that handle them, the people that use them, and why. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Eric. This is Al from Korea. I'm your Hanseo.
How's Korea?
Korea's pretty good. The weather's kind of weird. Hey, I did an anagram of Art Bell Radio. Actually, I got two anagrams out of it. One is Bold Ear Trail, and another one is Bold Air Alert. I just thought
I'll bear those in mind and think about it.
A couple things I have. One, I was thinking, what do you think of this idea? a T-shirt with you, George, and Ian on it, kind of like the old Beatles. Remember the Beatles where they had like half white, half dark?
I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a Beatle.
Well, I was thinking for the fourth Beatle, what you could have is like an old-fashioned radio. I think that'd be like a really cool T-shirt.
Okay, well, there you go. I appreciate the suggestion.
Yeah, just one last thing. Have you ever heard of the Art Bell drinking game?
I think I have, yes. It's like all the other drinking games in the world. I appreciate the call, sir. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Art.
Hi.
I'm just wondering, I mean, you keep saying it's today's society.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it could be strictly an American thing? I mean, like, in Canada, I don't notice this, Germany, Australia, Norway, Sweden. I mean, you have Atlanta courtroom shooting, Baltimore snipers. It just keeps going on and on and on.
They have had some random school shootings,
in fact,
elsewhere. So it does occur elsewhere. Is it more prevalent in America?
Gun crime, yes.
I think probably so, yes.
I mean, like I understand. I mean, like, sometimes us Canadians don't, you know, we don't get you, you know. But, I mean, we hear your pride. We also have our pride ourselves. But I think the thing that we just don't get is the amount of guns and how proud America is of guns. And look at what America is turning to. I mean, it's just quite sad looking at the news every day. Nobody watches the news more than I do.
Okay, sir, hold on a sec. What is your murder rate per 100,000 or whatever in Canada?
I'll tell you, in Hamilton, Ontario, we average 4 or 5 homicides a year.
Okay, but as a nation, as a national figure, what do you suppose your per 100,000 is compared to ours?
Yeah, looking at that movie, Bowling for Columbine, I think they said around 200 to 250 around that when America was at 11,000. And each year, America escalates in gun crime. Canada doesn't. A lot of places don't.
Okay, not just gun crime, but murder. In other words, there's a lot of ways to dispatch somebody other
exactly.
than a gun.
It's less than 500, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas America is 11,000, it grows every year, 11,000, 12, 14, 15.
And what do you think the cause of that is? Certainly it's not guns suddenly rising into the air and beginning to spew bullets by themselves. It's people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the guns have always been here. America's been full of guns since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the behavior of those who have them.
It's a tough call. I mean, it's
not.
So strange to look at. And
it's not a tough call, sir. It's not the guns. It's the behavior of the people.
But again, though, like I ask, why is it not like that in Australia? It's like, not, you know, we're not seeing everyday shootings in Australia or Norway or Sweden. It's just constantly America, and America lives by guns.
I'll take that into consideration. There are a lot of guns here. There's no question about it. But again, it certainly is behavior. It's not the mechanisms. And there have been a number of school shootings in, is it Norway or Sweden, fairly recent as well. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Art. This is John from Bonnie Lake, Washington.
Hi, John.
Hi. Well, you know, the Word of God describes the days of Noah, and then tells us that in the last days that it would be the same, where sin would abound in the hearts of men, and wicked things would be done. And, you know, I don't need the national media or even the local media to expound upon that fact. All I have to do is have open eyes and ears to hear in my own community. And I don't think it would matter where I lived. These things are on the rise. And people are just doing things they shouldn't be doing. You know, they're being influenced by Satan, by darkness, but it's just their choice.
Okay, so you kind of think both, that there is an external force at work here.
Yes.
And that external force is being accepted more and more by those who have a choice.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll perhaps consider that as middle territory. So there is an external force, and it's simply being acted on more and more by those who have a choice or have, if you will, free will. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Bell. How you doing?
Quite well, sir. Thank you.
This is Ali from Columbus, Georgia. First off, congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
And the birth of your future birth of your daughter.
Coming soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Have you ever heard of the Springer Opera House here in Columbus, Georgia?
Gosh, the name is familiar.
It's the legend is that it's haunted, that many actors, if they're back in the wardrobe room and they can't find a costume,
mm-hmm.
all they do is call out the name for it, and it will just magically appear.
No, I hadn't heard that. Interesting, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've also got a ghost story, if you mind.
No, I don't mind if it's quick.
Okay. I worked for 2 years for a pretty major company as a security guard, and everybody there thought it was haunted, and I had a firsthand experience with it. I was walking through the plant, and I dropped my phone. I bend over to pick it up. I get back up, and all of a sudden, my hat goes flying off my head. And
you're convinced a ghost ejected your hat?
Pretty much, yeah. There was nobody around. The plant was empty. It was the weekend, and there was nobody there.
Must have been a very bored ghost.
I guess so. Also, too, if you're down in the lobby at night, you would hear every time. It was right there by railroad tracks, and we would always hear a little child laughing about, and about 2 minutes later, the train would come by every night.
Mm. Well, if we could just prove the existence of ghosts, we could go a long way toward turning a lot of people around, couldn't we? Because that would prove, without any question, that there is something after this physical life, and people would take a lot more care before they abused the short time they have here, therefore jeopardizing whatever lay beyond. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Oh, yippee-yo. Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hello. Always a delight to speak with you. I do believe that there is a way that we can manifest peace on this planet.
And what would that be?
Well, we have to recognize that I think you're right, that it's a lot of what our society is doing, and there's a way around it. There are teachers on this planet, and there are plants. They are teachers of peace. One of the greatest ones of all the plants on this planet. Some of the very best food on the planet. Some of the very best fibers on the planet, some of the very best fuel on the planet, some of the very best medicine on the planet, and it's a teacher of peace. You already know it. It's the cannabis plant, and it's forbidden, and it is a teacher of peace. And it is it's a fabulous plant. It's a great teacher.
Isn't that giving it... too many attributes?
No.
It's why is it all those things?
Yeah. Well, because it's a profoundly magnificent gift that has been given to us. It really, truly is. It has all of these things are very well proven. This is not just off the wall stuff. The nutrition, the two of the highest amounts of essential fatty acids. They're called essential because our bodies need them and don't produce them. The cannabis plant has two of the highest amounts of them.
Mm-hmm. I would look, I think, at cannabis more in a neutral way, and I think it could have positive or negative effects. I don't think that, for example, it is, excuse the word, as evil as alcohol, nor do I think it is necessarily a positive. It depends on how it's used and how it's perceived by those who use it. But I just don't think that you can give it the glowing kind of rhetoric that you did. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi, turn your radio off,
it's
please.
On.
You've
on.
Got a very few seconds, so go ahead.
Since we just have a few seconds, I just wanted to say, great show, and I saw my first honeybee today.
Really?
Yes, and I just got right up to it. I just had to watch it. And I just watched it and watched it until
I mean, it was like eating ravenously.
Well, you should have told it, you should have leaned down and told its little bee ear to be fruitful and multiply.
Oh,
quickly.
I did. I was talking to it, telling it how beautiful it is.
All right, listen, I'm sorry. I've got, listen, the program's over. I've got to leave you. I'm sorry. She saw her first little bee today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's a Friday night, Saturday morning for George Norrie. It's been a pleasure being here, and we'll see you tomorrow evening as we resume the normal weekend. Good night.